This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Freeco. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Sam Sumpter at WFUV. Sam, this is a kind of full circle moment for us because we both started here full time roughly around the same time. And one of my first sessions that I produced and your first sessions that you were the interviewer on was Freeco when they were here in 2024. So I want to hear about what it was like to catch up with them and hear new stuff from this new project. And just getting to like see them on this trajectory from the past few years.
Yeah, it was really cool for me because like you said, this is one of my first interviews to do for WFUV. The first one was rather. And then at that point, they were kind of riding the high of their first album. They had this whirlwind tour schedule and they were playing Newport Folk and Fuji Rock in Japan in the same weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, crazy. And then they swung by the studio and I fell in love with them. Bailey and Nico are so wonderful and the songwriting's so good. So to have them back was really cool. And, you know, talking about this crazy tour schedule, this next album, their second, is actually a product of this life on the move, on the road. It's a transit-themed album, both in the literal sense with songs that mention hot air balloons and bicycles and trains, and also just in the more metaphorical sense with the ideas of, you know, escape and expansion. And, you know, they just keep getting better.
Yeah, that's amazing. We're going to hear three live songs, as we always do. What is the first live song that we're going to hear?
This is 7 Degrees from Freeco.
Dad had said when we were young, 7 ties between us and anyone we'd ever wish to meet. One's your ma, 2's your friends, 3's the one that broke your heart a bit. Through your to your knees. 4's an always in disguise, and we don't ever speak of 5. 6 is just really me. Yeah. But there's one I tell ya, one who's gonna help you anytime. I have crawled, I have drank at every bar, but still I sit and weep. Well, if one was something I could do was more, gotta can't count it any longer. Oh, I'm losing it, you see. Some might say the well is dry, but I just pray I'm living wise. Each other's arms, 7 souls, 7 more.
That was 7 Degrees from Freako, the lead single off their new album, Something Worth Waiting For. I'm Sam Sumter on WFUV. So excited to be reunited with Nico from Freako here. Welcome back to the studio.
Thank you. Yeah, 2 years in the making.
I know. We should do this every year.
Yeah. I know. It's easier than 2 years.
Yeah, right? I just want to say it's so great, first and foremost, to have you back, because I feel like I get so emotionally invested during these interviews, and then being able to watch from afar as you make more music and play more shows and then have you come back and get to touch base and see what you've been working on is just a really, really cool feeling. And I loved the last album, Where We've Been, Where We Go From Here. And I guess where you went is right back here to WFUV. So
yeah, that's the whole point the whole time.
How in the last 2 years since the last album, I mean, I'm sure it's been an absolute whirlwind with touring from Japan to Newport Folk Festival in one weekend to all around the country, other countries, writing a new album. How would you just describe the last couple of years for you?
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely a whirlwind. We were very grateful for it. It was unexpected for, like, you know, a first record to get to go, you know, especially to, like, Europe, for one, is like, oh my God, it's time, like, we get to go to Europe. But then, you know, to be able to go to, like, Japan and China, like, that was just insane. And we kind of just went along for the ride and took it all in and put it into a new record whenever we were home. And yeah, ate a lot of really good food. but yeah, I mean, because it's a tough place when you're like trying to travel and play a bunch of shows everywhere, but you're still, you're not like a big band, so you don't have a lot of money. So it's a hard balancing act. But no one's got a lot of money right now, at least friends and people. Yeah, but it's been a whirlwind, but it's been great. And we've been home a few months kind of resting. And now we're kind of starting it all up again.
And at the same time as you're doing all of this touring in the last couple of years, you've also been making an album. How was it balancing that, this manic on the road, go, go, go lifestyle, and then having the time and space to write and record and, you know, make a whole nother record?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like when we're on the road, it's almost I'm not good at writing on the road, at least how we do it now, because we all need to help with everything, like load-ins, and like, so we're very physically busy, which is great. It occupies the mind. And so I feel myself sometimes it's easier to like stay grounded on tour almost because you can't think about anything else, but hard to write on the road. But when we were home, would write, and then we kind of just did that over the course of like a year and a half, 2 years, and slowly it all came together. And then we were home for like a month before going to record. We refined everything and went out there and did the record in 2 weeks. Yeah, just kind of like you keep working at it piece by piece.
Absolutely. And this album is transit themed, obviously, from, you know, in a few senses, I think. Like there, you know, you've got in the literal sense with Choo Choo, Hot Air Balloons, Dear Bicycle. You've got a commuter companions playlist you're having people contribute to. I've got a little Freako Metro card in my back pocket now.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that in New York, yeah.
So we've got this transit theme. Before we get into what is obviously a metaphor in so many ways, let's get a little literal with it.
Yeah.
How did you land on this as the idea for the album?
We kind of finished all these songs and we're like, oh my God, we have like 4 or 5 songs that are like directly about transit. And I think for me, the metaphors were being put towards that because of how much we were traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never traveled much in my life. So, and you know, with Hot Air Balloon, like that was, we were in a Cracker Barrel parking lot on tour, sleeping. Yeah, just sleeping there overnight and woke up and it was the Albuquerque Hot Air Balloon Fest. And that was so beautiful. So everything kind of came from that. And like, I've never been one who's like worshipped like tour records from bands because sometimes they can be kind of corny, but it kind of naturally happened. And yeah, I love it for what it is.
And I think when you're on the road too, you're, you know, encountering all sorts of people, all sorts of places, even if for a very brief moment. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like these experiences expanded your perspective in order to like write an album that you never would have been able to write otherwise?
Definitely. I mean, at least in the sense of like themes and like even as I write new songs now and like we work as a band, mm-hmm. like we just take in the new experiences and like can personally like lyrically I can write about different stuff because you don't just like grow up in Chicago your whole life and mm-hmm. then that's your whole life. It's, you know, like anybody grow up, see more things and then you get the opportunity to write about more things. And that's a privilege for sure.
And then on more of the metaphorical end of it, this idea of a journey, which is also in relation to the title of the album, I believe, Something Worth Waiting For. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, Something Worth Waiting For, we kind of had that, I had that hook for that song in the title from like before the first record came out and kind of already knew would be the second record's title and like title track. And it always kind of had a much more melancholic and like almost like sadder feel to it. Like the song kind of feels like it never quite reaches what you're waiting for. And that's kind of, we like balancing those two, you know, aspects of something that might feel hopeful, but, you know, in the end is kind of like a juggling act for anybody, you know?
Yeah, and life is, you know, a journey. There is no,
it's a journey.
There is no destination except the final one.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never been good at taking in, that was something with tour, like I've never been good at taking in things as it comes. And I feel like that was a big part of this record is like wanting that, but never, like I can't actually do it in real life. I feel like that's what a lot of people write do it for.
It's just to kind of cement these moments, even if you can't, like, you know, appreciate them in the present, you're processing mm-hmm. them and and pressing them into permanence in a way that wouldn't be done mm-hmm. otherwise. Mm-hmm. So the title itself, I think, you know, is it more so about dreams or dissatisfaction? Because I could see it in the sense of like a dangling carrot or like hedonic treadmill where you're always looking for something bigger and better? Or is it more so the idea of having something to look forward to, having something to work towards and, you know, more of an inspirational feel?
For me personally, it's always been the something missing aspect, like whatever that may be. But as we've like already been doing interviews for this record, like everybody has a different way of looking at it. And that's super cool to me because if people say it the other way, like that's great. It totally can be the other way, you know? So, but it's always kind of been about like the dissatisfaction side for me. But the hope is there. I'm traveling with my friends. It's a good time, you know? Lucky to do it.
We are going to play another song from the album.
Cool.
I love the way this song just like from the get-go is just, you kick the train door down. I don't know. And then just go off the rails in a good way.
Yeah, nice.
Do you want to intro Choo Choo for us?
Yeah, this one is probably our favorite song to play live now. It's just a blast of joy. And it's about, Choo Choo refers to our van, actually, that we named Dottie, who has been through a lot on tour. And so this is about the joys of traveling with your friends.
This is Choo Choo from Freako on WFUV.
Sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes I call.
want to say again, that song is so, so fun. Just the energy of it is incredible. And being able to get that also, you know, we're hearing it live now, but that also translates into the actual recording on the album. And I want to take a second to talk a little bit about the making of the record, because this is very different than the making of the first record, mm-hmm. the first album, very much a DIY yeah. endeavor, y'all getting together, doing it with your friends over a long span of time. Because mm-hmm. It takes a long time, like as an indie band, it takes a lot of time and money to record and, yeah. you know, it stretches it out. But for this one, you actually paired up with a Grammy-winning producer, John Congleton, I believe, of Mountain Goats, St. Vincent. So what was it like to bring someone in with you with that resume and to hand some of those reins over?
Yeah, I mean, for us, we were really interested in recording it the opposite way of how we mm-hmm. did the first time, because it was amazing. It was beautiful doing with our friends Scott Talarita and Jack Henry. Like, it was a blessing. It was just amazing. But we wanted to try doing the opposite way, basically going into a studio for 2 weeks and then you're out and you're done, which was really fun. And when we met with John Congleton in L.A., we never set out to go to L.A. to make a record. But Congleton studied under Steve Albini, mm-hmm. Chicago legend, and he definitely has that energy, and he's just a hilarious, like, absurd dude, and he doesn't care what anybody else thinks and lets us stay in our world of what we want to do. And yeah, it was just a beautiful time.
What conversations did you have with him going into the recording process? And, you know, was there a certain vibe you were going for that you definitely wanted to make sure came across, or something that you didn't want to lose?
I mean, it's funny because I don't know if it was just his way with us, because he told us that, like, being a band and how we were, and we had kind of arranged the songs a good amount. By the time we got there, he was just like, I don't want to, like, mess with it too much, mm-hmm. let you guys be. So we didn't talk about much of anything before going into recording, and that was kind of threw me off at first, but then seeing him work and how he could guide us was really incredible, and just seeing, like, the genius that he has of, like, just helping guide us along the way.
And DIY, beyond a process, is a spirit. I mm-hmm. think there mm-hmm. is a vibe, and that seems like very much the energy of Freako, like bringing in your friends to contribute art. And I think the sound comes through. It's recorded so well, but it also sounds still like raw and energetic. Mm-hmm. Like, what did you do to ensure that energy that feels to me inherent to Freako as a band, mm-hmm. how did you maintain that?
Well, yeah, I mean, most of the stuff we would, like, you know, record a mostly live instrumental take, mm-hmm. a couple ones with the live vocal as well. And, you know, that's just us playing in a room together. And if you don't mess with that, then you won't mess with that sound, you know?
On the last record, you had talked about recording Where We've Been. And you had this moment where you were all sobbing, where you just had this magic experience. And then you went onto the roof to celebrate. And I remember in our interview, you told me it was 4 years of playing to get one moment like that. Mm-hmm. So in the writing and the recording of this record, were there any magic moments that kind of matched that same level of just,
ha? I mean, I think there were two moments. One was kind of a similar thing. The first song, Guess, that was like one take, everything live. And that was extremely emotional. And then the other one was Certainty, when I did like a piano and vocal, but then we brought in the strings and the arrangement, and that was just like a dream come true to do this insane, kind of like meant to be like a She's Leaving Home type of like orchestra and like vocal thing. And Jarek Bischoff, the arranger, was just, he's such a genius. He was in like Shushu, so he was like, he's into like the weird stuff too with strings, so that was like mind-blowing, and we were all like blown away. We all had yerba mates, which are like 2 cups of coffee caffeine, and the string players didn't know that. They thought it was just like tea. And so they all had it when we were recording, and they all had like 2. And so they were like jittery as well. So, but yeah, that was just mind blowing.
And there's so much energy in these songs. There's also so much emotion. Just watching you perform, you know, there's no detachment in your delivery, and there's no phoning it in. You feel like you sound like you're wringing like all of the emotion out of your body with all of these songs. Is that exhausting? How do you do that take after take, night after night?
I mean, I think it's just because I love it. Yeah. Like, I like doing that. And that's kind of the one thing I can do. I think I can do well and just being vulnerable like that. And, you know, have the people around me with the band that care and just surrounding people around it that care, it makes you feel able to do it again and again. Because if I didn't have that, then yeah, that'd be really hard. People are like, why are you crying?
Yeah, well, let me cry, man.
Shut up. Yeah.
Well, being on the road so much, and you now have the bandmates, David and Corgan, who I think had just recently started playing with you maybe when you were here last. I think they joined for tour.
Yeah, I mean, they've been playing with us for a while. It's just like, now that we're putting out the second record, it's like telling everybody it's like official. It's kind of like high school where it's like, we're official now.
Yeah. We exchanged promise rings.
Yeah. Oh, it's deep.
Letter jackets. You guys have been on the road so much together that I imagine that just the bonding that happens over this period of time, and you're living this vagabond lifestyle together. You're sleeping in Cracker Barrel parking lots, as an indie band does. You know, you can find home not just as a place, but in people. So how do you think you guys collectively create a sense of home for each other?
I think just genuinely caring, and like everybody cares enough to check in, like on the daily, especially on tour, because you almost have to, or else it builds up, you know, within like a 2 days time. But I think we just all care, and we care about each other, and that'll help us do this music thing for a much longer time, you know, because that's how bands fall apart. It's almost never because of the music, just because the people. But that's, yeah, we're just, everyone's a good person in this band, our team around us.
Yeah, I remember during our last interview about 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, whatever it was, noticing that element of friendship and that bond, and like it being so strong then. And I remember commenting on it and seeing like the chemistry and just the way you guys work together. And now that we're a couple years later, you know, you've only gotten closer and you've had these experiences together. And I imagine that that's just going to continue to make the live show, to make the music better and better.
You hope so, yeah.
Well, we've got one more song that you are going to play. I want to talk a little bit about this song before we go into it. It's called Certainty, which is absolutely beautiful. I think you're on the piano for this one. This song actually outlines your old work commute. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a lot like where we've been from the first record. For some reason, I like kind of came back to that, but I wanted to try like a really just narrative thing. That's like, did this and then did this and then did this. And yeah, that was just really fun to try. And like, especially like even like new stuff, I've been trying to write that way more too. It's just a new thing that's fun.
What would you be dreaming about back then when you were on this commute? You know, taking the bus to the train or the train to the bus, looking out the window.
Probably doing all this stuff, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about periods of my life where I was desperate to move on, to escape, to like move on to bigger and better things and do what I really wanted to do. And when I look back, I feel like there's a little bit of a sense of nostalgia, not like I want to go back to them, but just like, oh, if only they knew, if only Nico knew that this
is... Yeah, if only you could tell yourself.
We are so excited to have you here in studio playing this set, but you're actually going to be playing a headlining set in Brooklyn soon. What do you have planned for that?
Just our last show at Hall of Williamsburg was so fun. I mean, that was like the first time we played a show that felt like we were playing one in Chicago. That was like in another city in the U.S. And we're just so stoked to do it again. Yeah.
Well, we are so excited at WFUV in NYC collectively. Yes. I'm speaking for the station. I'm speaking for the city to have you back.
NYC.
We are going to close out with Certainty, an absolutely beautiful song. Do you want to intro it for us?
Just, this is Certainty.
This is Certainty. Thank you so much for being here. Nico from Freako, we love you.
Thank you.
One, two, three, one, two, three. Barely awake as the arm rushes by. 6, 7, 8 o'clock, 8:39. There's a hole in the ceiling, it's bleeding to dry. Something ain't working, no, something ain't right. So you sit up and aim for the door without sound. And exit's an answer, at least for right now. And your feet hit the carpet, start to excite. Days like today, they come once in a lifetime. Only once in a while. the door with the sun in your eyes. Jump to the sidewalk, hop over the lines, and the salt is like lava, snow solid ground. God, wasn't it winter 3 months ago now? Huddled up on the red line, your nap on the way, out past the school where those children would play. In the shine of their wings, we put salt in your eyes. Today it's the train, but tomorrow we'll fly. Sand, there's a castle with magical things, cattails and dust bunnies, apples and rings, and it grants you a wish. So you ask for the star, says that's not what we do here, girl. But here's where you start. There's a boat by the shoreline, and I made it for you. There's no room for maps now, who knows what to do. There's a crack in the distance, a break in the clouds, a hole in the background, yeah. Background. Soon as you sail to that wall in the sky, you notice the crack in the clouds to your right. So you tap on it once, and you tap on it twice, and it opens up slowly, boldly you cry. And I'm certain there's something, certain there's more, certain there's somebody right through that door. Something, something that's more, something that's somebody right through that door. And I'm sure. Oh, yeah.
That was Freako performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in our studio and to ATO Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and Thomas Lepis. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Diana Horace. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.